Yes, sir.
Our next public hearing is subdivision 2007-26, DM Properties of Bethel Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 260.69 acres into 390 lots using the cluster development concept, and located north and south of Road 472, west of Road 434, and west of Road 438. The applicants provided us with an exhibit booklet, a large three-ring binder. It has been a part of the record since March 18th. All the commissioners have copies, I believe. And I'll just ask Mr. Abbott if he can give us an update on any TAC comments.
Mr. Chairman, this application was originally filed on June 29th of 2007. It was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee November 21st of 07. That report's a part of the record. On December 18th of last year, you voted to allow this application to be rescheduled. As Lawrence stated, we received an exhibit booklet and a revised preliminary plan March 19th of this year. And we have received copies of plus comments from July 27th, 2007, October 27th of 2008, and March 19th of 2009. And most recently, we received the state's response to the applicant's plus comments on April 6th of 09. They're all part of the record, and that's all we've received to date.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay, gentlemen, I understand that you are not represented by counsel this evening. Somebody else is going to be here. You, sir, are going to be our presenter this evening.
Right.
All right, sir.
Not quite an attorney. I'm an engineer, but hopefully I'll do. We just have a couple of exhibits here.
Okay. Does that mean that Ms. Ballier is going to be doing your site plan for you later on if you get approved? Or?
Exactly. It's got your responsibilities.
Is there anyone here with a particular interest in this application? If so, please feel free to get up and move around, get up and look at the exhibit, because it's hard to see from back there. And all I ask is just if you do it quietly, and then if you want to take a seat closer up so you can better hear what's going on, feel free. And when the time's right, we'll give you a chance to speak. All right, sir.
Okay. Good evening. I'm Phil Tolliver with Morris and Ritchie Associates. 404 South Bedford Street, Georgetown, Delaware. And also with me tonight is Mr. Bernie DeSabatino with Ross Point Associates. They're the developers and landowners. And Marco Boyce, he's a landscape architect with Morris and Ritchie. I guess as far as my presentation goes, I kind of wanted to break it down into three brief sections. First, I'd like to talk just a little bit about the history of the project, because there is some history associated with it. You've heard Mr. Abbott refer to several plus comments. There's a reason for that, and I'll get into that in just a second. The second part of my presentation, I'd like to talk about some of the goals that we had when we put this plan together. And the third and final part of my presentation, I'd like to talk about Section 99-9C of your subdivision ordinance, and specifically, you know, how we're meeting the 17 requirements in that section of the code. And hopefully after all three parts are presented, you'll understand how we feel that this is a cluster subdivision that embraces the superior design philosophy that's in your zoning code. As has been alluded to before, the project's been around for quite some time. It actually started back in 2006 when discussions were being had with Tidewater Utilities to be the water service provider for, I guess you could call it, the Eastern Laurel area, if you will. And there's a conglomeration of projects. Chickberry Fields is in that area, certainly Phillips Hill Farm, Trap Trails. There's a number of projects that are all part of that Tidewater Utilities water service area. So that's kind of when the discussion started on this particular project way back in 06. In February 07, there was a cluster subdivision design that was submitted to the state, and that's probably the first one that Mr. Abbott referred to. And it originally contemplated an on-site community septic system. And if you look at the site plan, the rendering here, the community septic system was actually in this area where you have nice high and dry soils, very permeable, sandy, loamy soils. And so the theory was is put a community septic system here and then do a cluster subdivision design. It would basically develop this area, and all of this area, even down in this southern 60-acre tip, I'll call it. The subsequent to that original concept plan being submitted to PLUS, the owners of the property continued discussions with Tidewater Utilities, and were, you know, in a collaborative way, were discussing how they could sewer the, again, I'll refer to it as the East Laurel, in this case, sewer area. So now we're not only talking about water, but now we're talking about providing public sewer via Tidewater Utilities. And again, back in early 07, when those discussions ensued with Tidewater, you had jobs like Chickberry Fields, at Trap Trails, and certainly Phillips Hill Farm, that was part of the discussions as far as how can we get public sewer to this property. And so that's where the second sketch came into play. It basically eliminated, and incidentally, I brought the two previous sketches with me that went before PLUS. If you'd like to see them, I can show them to you, and you can see a natural progression of how the plan has changed and been modified. But in that second rendition, the wastewater from this project basically flowed in a westerly direction down towards the Trussum Pond Regional Wastewater Treatment Facility, which I'm sure that you've all heard discussed before when some of the other projects in this area were proposed. That second rendition of the plan, as Mr. Abbott referred to, was supposed to come before you on, I guess the exact date was December 11th, 2008, and during that time frame, the owners of the property felt that they could still do even better than the second rendition. There was some things there that they felt could be improved on, and that's when I was contacted, Morris and Ritchie, to basically look at the plan in 2008 and see if there's a way that we could improve on it, and then make the presentation to you and create a project that we can all be proud of. So that's where we are. That's just a brief snapshot of the history. One of the main goals that we wanted to achieve here is to try to propose a relatively low-impact project, and I'll get into what I mean as a low-impact project, that gives everybody the greatest chance for success in a in an expanding demographic populace, i.e. the baby boomers. There was a kind of an interesting publication put out a while back by Jack Markell, who was then the state treasurer. He's now the governor, obviously. But the publication is Delaware Facing Forward, and it kind of goes into demographic and population statistics and breakdowns, and it's all public information, so it's readily available. But in it, he's projecting that Sussex County, at least statistically the way he's projecting, should see about a 43% increase in population in the next 22 years. He's also made a projection that there's expected to be almost a 100% increase in population of people aged 65 and older. So we have that. We also, you know, you constantly read these articles about, there's been an article recently in the Delaware State News about Delaware's populace getting older and a need for more senior housing. And so when you take performers that have been done, and you see this report that Mr. Markell has put together, and then you consider some of the other projects in the area. For example, Chickberry Fields, which is just to the west of this property, and Trap Trails and the other ones that I've referred to, they're all market rate projects. So what we wanted to try to do here is do something a little bit different and propose an age-restricted project. We're trying to capture a certain market type. The reports that we have available seem to suggest that's a logical course of action, and we're trying to propose a low-impact project at the same time. The site, as Mr. Lanks referred to, is located along Phillips Hill Road, just east of Dover. It's comprised of 264 acres, and it's zoned AR1, and we're proposing a cluster subdivision option. The project includes 62% open space. We're proposing 390 single-family lots, ranging from sizes of 7,500 square feet on up to 16,000 square feet. Some of the goals that we tried to achieve in the preparation of the actual plan is that we wanted to, you know, when you look at the first and the second plan, there were ways that it could be approved on, specifically with additional berming along Phillips Hill Road, Scotland Road, and Womack Road. And you can see here with the extensive buffers that kind of meander in and out all along those three roads. And what we're contemplating there, if you're familiar with, for instance, the Rookery Golf Course coming down 113, you know how those berms go up and down and side to side, and they're landscaped very nicely. That's kind of what we had in mind here. You don't want a berm that looks very synthetic and engineered, one-dimensional going straight. It just looks like it's been engineered. So we like to do these berms side to side and up and down, and then plant them with either native species or a combination of vegetation, and that's certainly what we would propose here. One of the other objectives that we wanted to achieve, in consideration of the fact that this is an age-restricted project, we wanted to try to give every lot owner a little bit more privacy than what they normally would get in a normal subdivision. And so when you look at the project, one thing you'll note is that every lot backs up to open space. Now, that's not something that we normally do, because it is a little more labor intensive. It's a little more expensive, to be honest with you. And it takes a little more work to get that done. But in this case, it seemed to make sense. Number one, it was an age-restricted project. And number two, the site was has been timbered. This area here, you know, you can notice that the site's basically broken into three different areas. These two areas that take access onto Phillips Hill Road were timbered, I would say, within the last 5 years. And they were replanted with loblolly pines and other pine trees. This area to the north of Raccoon Branch was also timbered, probably, I would, based on the maturity of the trees, probably about 12 to 15 years ago, I would say, just estimating it was timbered. You can still see, if you look real close, you can still see the timber roads. See the haul roads right here? And it comes on down through this channel and then takes access to Phillips Hill Road. And there's timbering logging trails, you know, throughout the whole subdivision. But you can really see, you can pick it up there on that northern piece pretty well. And so what we're trying to do with the open space, and you can see it here, see the open space here, and then all behind these lots, all behind these lots, and all behind these lots, wherever two lots butt up to each other, they're separated by a large swath of open space that's going to be covered with a forest conservation easement so that those trees in that area can mature up. They're not really mature right now, but over time they will mature. And so if we put, you know, a forest conservation easement on top of that, you're saving trees, giving more open space, and giving more privacy to the residents. The other goal as far as the open space design went, and incidentally, the open space design and the preservation of the natural features on the site, that was the first thing that we looked at, not the last. Many times you'll see a plan that actually comes in, and unfortunately, you'll see a 90-degree intersection and straight roads, and then you create your lots, and then whatever open space is left over, it's just residual open space, and that's what it looks like. In this case, we actually tried to consider the environmental features, such as the wetlands. There's wetlands back in here. There's wetlands that parallel Raccoon Branch. So we identified the known environmental areas. We identified and worked with our client to arrive at a common sense, well-thought-out open space strategy, and then build your project around that. So the last thing we did was come up with a lot layout. And that's kind of how we proceeded through. That's very consistent with your superior design ordinance. Actually, to be honest with you, every project should be done like that, not just cluster subdivisions, but I think every project should consider something like that. When you look at the site plan, one thing we wanted to do is, as you're coming into each pod of the development, we try to have an inviting feel for the residents of the community, such as when you come off Phillips Hill Road and you come up this main boulevard right here. It's going to be a bifurcated road with plantings in the middle, a big, you know, relatively large grass open space strip. And the first thing you're going to look out over is this open space area with a gazebo, plantings, and then right back in the backdrop, you're going to see a wet pond with a fountain, and really make that more of an amenities feature as opposed to a utility. And that's a very important thing to consider. Again, especially with an age-restricted project, you're trying to build in these things into the project. Same thing here. As you're coming off of Phillips Hill Road and you're coming into this portion of the project, you see another village green area with landscaping and areas of interest to really invite you into the community. Same thing here. As you're coming off of Scotland Road, you're looking into another open space area with preserved trees. We could do something really neat in this area. Is what we're thinking is maybe a semicircular entrance sign, the details of which haven't been worked out yet, but you know, with extensive landscaping and lighting on it and so forth. And then, of course, more bifurcated roadways as you come into these entrances, and then the circular roundabout with a strong spine that links to the centrally located clubhouse and the swimming pool and tennis courts. Talking about open space and things of that nature, we really wanted to also introduce an abundance of different activities: walking trails, boardwalks, I said tennis courts, swimming pool, a swimming pool, a boardwalk, I said, things like that. The boardwalk, incidentally, would be located right here to connect this pod of the development to that pod, and you can see it right through here. So just a wooden boardwalk that kind of meanders through the low-lying wetland area, and no filling of wetlands in that area for the construction of the boardwalk would take place, by the way. You know, we also wanted to provide for a better buffer around the existing cemetery. There's an existing cemetery on the site. It's right here. See that little rectangle right off of Phillips Hill Road? Fairly small cemetery. In the informational booklet that we have in here, you'll see that Ed Otter, who has done a lot of work with us, has done an extensive archaeological survey to determine the outer boundary of the actual cemetery. The old sketch, that I'll call it the second sketch, and for that matter, the first sketch that was prepared by another engineer, had lots basically right next to the cemetery. Now, they had a little bit, maybe a 15 or 20 foot buffer, but you know, a lot right next to a cemetery sometimes isn't the best thing. So we tried to reconfigure this area and provide more of a substantial buffer and move those lots away from the cemetery. And then we can take this berm, that meandering berm that I was telling you about before, and tie it in to give a real good buffer to the cemetery. And the cemetery itself would remain undisturbed. We also wanted to increase the buffer to the wetlands. And even though your code doesn't require it, we proposed a 50-foot minimum buffer to the non-tidal wetlands. And in many cases, the buffer goes up to, you know, 100 and 150 feet. So it's a relatively substantial buffer. In no case does the lot line, let's say back in here or here or here, does the rear lot line go closer than 50 feet to the wetlands. I talked about the stormwater management being incorporated as part of an amenities feature as opposed to just a functional utility, and that's something that we would certainly try to do here. The other thing we wanted to do is reduce the linear footage of roadway. When you looked at the first sketch and the second sketch, one thing that popped out in my mind right away is that there was a lot of what I refer to as non-loaded roadway or single-loaded roadway, meaning that you're building a lot of road, but you don't have lots fronting on that road. That's an indication of, it's an indication of possibly an inefficient layout. And so we try to be cognizant of that fact as well. And this being the third sketch, we actually ended up reducing the linear footage of roadway by over 2,000 linear feet. That's less pavement, that's less disturbance, and it's less cost that the developer has to incur. And, you know, especially in today's housing market, we all know what the situation is there. The more cost you can save and pass on to the home buyer, the lower the sales price can be for the home buyer, and the greater chance of success that we can have for houses actually selling. And that's always an overriding objective.
Let me ask you if you would be so kind as to address the issues that are actually germane to your application and to our ordinance. We appreciate all the background, and we appreciate all the sales analysis and all that, but that's not the basis upon which we make a decision. So if you would, just address the cognizant elements for us, if you would.
Okay. The last thing that I wanted to point out is just we have varying lot sizes, 60, 70, and 80-foot wide widths. In terms of the section 99-9C, and that was the last part of my discussion. You hit it perfect, Mr. Chairman. When you look at section 99.C, I just wanted to step through real quick. It talks about the integration of the proposed subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. We would propose that the vast majority of the subdivision is planned to be located where the existing timbering activity has already taken place. So none of these trees back in the back, the deciduous trees I call them, are going to be removed. The second one is the minimal use of wetlands and floodplains. We're proposing no floodplain impacts. There's no FEMA 100-year floodplain on the site. There is a minor wetland impact located right here, but it's located where the existing logging trail is located. And so we would have to go through the Army Corps of Engineers permitting process before any activity could take place there. And when I say minor, it's well below the 0.1 acre threshold that the Army Corps of Engineers has before you have to get into a more complicated permit. So it's a very minor amount of wetland impact we're talking about. Preservation of natural and historic features. There was a phase one environmental site assessment done. There was a historic archaeological survey done. There's no known historic features on the site with the exception of the cemetery, which remains undisturbed. The preservation of the open space and scenic views. Again, with the cluster option, one thing we could do is, remember before, the old plans showed disturbance down here. We've taken all the subdivision and clustered it into the middle of the project, and we've saved this whole southern tip, which is 60 acres. We've been able to preserve that. So we can put a conservation easement on that, let it revert back to woodlands or so forth, and that's located right here. So that's how we would propose to preserve that open space in that area. Minimization of tree, vegetation, and soil removal. The design, and this is always something you want to try to do, is not fight Mother Nature. Minimal earth moving is obviously going to be proposed. And again, there's no disturbance outside the areas that have previously been timbered. The screening of objectionable features to neighboring properties. You've already heard me mention that we're proposing extensive berms along Phillips Hill Road and Scotland Road. The other thing I wanted to mention is, remember I said we wanted to do 60, 70, and 80-foot wide lots. We strategically located the larger lots toward the outside of the subdivision. So you have fewer lots towards the outside as you're paralleling to Phillips Hill Road, Scotland, and Womack Road. The provision of water supply. I've already indicated that there's been multiple discussions with Tidewater. One thing I do want to note real quick, this is part of a, I guess, a greater water service area. And so what we're proposing is to put an additional well here, a treatment facility and pumps that will supply this project, but yet when connected to Chickberry and all the other projects, it'll also serve as a redundant backup for all those projects. It's like a big spider web of redundant water mains. The provision of sewer, which is item number 8 in your 99.9C subdivision ordinance, Tidewater Utilities. The project would flow to the Trussum Pond Regional Facility. Prevention of pollution and surface groundwater. The stormwater management facilities are going to be designed in accordance with DENREC and Sussex soil conservation standards. And where possible, what we would propose is what's referred to as series treatment, or some people refer to it as train treatment. You could have swales and vegetative buffer strips treating the rainwater before it flows into the pond. Minimization of erosion and sedimentation. What we're proposing is the construction of this would be done in small phases. So by doing it in smaller phases, you can control in a better, more efficient way the erosion and sediment control or sedimentation. That's also a state requirement, by the way, that you have to do that. The on-site stormwater management facilities, we've talked about qualitative management, but they're also going to provide quantitative management such that the release rates in proposed conditions would be less than the release rates in existing conditions. The provision for safe vehicular pedestrian movement, the roads are going to be designed to Sussex County standards, and we're proposing an extensive sidewalk system and walking trails. One thing I did want to mention is that we're trying to achieve multiple things here. This is an age-restricted project, so we were thinking about doing sidewalk on one side of the road, which would reduce the impervious coverage, and it would also drop, save, I guess, about $700 to $1,000 per unit in not having to do sidewalk on both sides. If it were a market rate project where you had kids playing there and using the sidewalks on a regular basis, totally different story. But because of that reason, that's why we were proposing sidewalk on one side. Preservation and conservation, I'm sorry, I skipped one. Effect of property values, the architectural style and the proposed construction practices of the houses are going to be very consistent with what's been built in the area already, and based on historical trends would actually increase the value of comparable homes in the area. The preservation of conservation of farmland, as I've already indicated, the site, it's not really been used as farmland, it's been timbered, and we are preserving through the cluster proposal, preserving 62% open space, 60 acres of which is to the south that, you know, we could have come off of Womack and developed. We're not doing that. We're going to put that in a, as long as it gets approved, we would put it in a conservation easement. Just a couple more. The effect on schools. It's an age-restricted project, so they're going to be paying taxes, but there's no drain on the school system. We're not expecting any impacts on the other community facilities in the area as a result of this project. The effect on area roadways and public transportation. The entrances would be designed in accordance with DLDOT standards, and DLDOT has looked at this project. We've met with DLDOT many times about this project, and there's actually an informational letter in your packet that you have. It's exhibit number 5, and I'll just read a quick quote out of the letter. This is DLDOT's words, not mine. We do not know of a level of service deficiency near this development, and we would not expect to find one. So that refers to the effect on area roadways and public transportation. Compatibility with other area land uses. The project is certainly designed in accordance with Sussex County Subdivision Ordinance, and in accordance with your zoning code, and it's consistent with the surrounding area. It's residential in use. The last one, effect on area waterways. I've talked about stormwater management quite a bit. The state law requires that you actually provide stormwater management, and your release rates post cannot exceed the release rates pre. And so that certainly would be the case on this project as well. As part of the stormwater management requirements that the Sussex Soil Conservation District would also review, we have to prove how we're providing water quality. So that would also be addressed through the approval process with those folks. Just in summary, you know, we've worked with the state now, Mr. Abbott's indicated, three times, and I think that says a little something about the client in terms of, you know, he could have pushed forward the first time with a plan and maybe gotten that approved, but he didn't.
Or not,
exactly. We don't want to be presumptuous, but what he did is he tried to do what he thought was right and improve the sketch along the way and make changes working with PLUS. We've met with Lawrence to take his comments under consideration. We've tried to incorporate some of those here as well, and working with Tidewater Utilities and so forth. So it's been a collaborative effort, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, in putting this plan together. And we hope that that, you know, it gets approved. And if there's any questions, I'd certainly be happy to answer them, or Heidi can answer them.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you. We thank you for your presentation, and we'll start with Mr. Gordy.
Just a few questions. You say you're targeting PIT 5 plus. Okay. How did you go about finding a demand for 55 plus 8 miles from the nearest town? Why do you think that's an ideal site for 55 plus?
Why would someone want to move here? Yeah.
Really? I mean, I read it the other day. It's 8 miles from town limit.
Right.
So there's no...
It's maybe for that reason. Seclusion, good proximity to the beaches. I mean, you're only, 25 minutes to the beach. There's not a lot of hustle and bustle in terms of traffic. For those reasons, I would say.
Do you feel these people are going to drive 8 miles to go to the grocery store, 8 miles to the doctor, 20, 25 miles to the hospital? I mean, do you have areas like this, 55 plus areas in different places like this?
Yeah, I mean, there's...
Most of your 55 are closer to town.
You have multiple different kinds of... You're right. There could be destination resorts where there's golf courses and there's... things to do nearby, yes. But then you also have, I do have projects that up in Kent County, for instance, that JS Hovmanian is doing fairly well in. And today's a pretty hostile market. It's tough for age-restricted projects as well as market-rate projects. And all we can do, to be honest with you, is just do our best to try to fill a market need and just make the decisions that we feel that are the best.
Now, you're saying there'll be no wastewater treated on site?
Correct.
And the cemetery will be accessed for family members, or?
It remains to be accessed off of Phillips Hill Road, okay, just like it is now, so we're not going to change that at all.
Okay, and who's responsible for maintaining the cemetery?
Well, it'd be the Homeowners Association.
Now, is that spelled out in restriction?
It could be, yeah. It will be.
Yeah. You stated there's a minimum of 50-foot buffer from the wetlands.
Yes.
And some places there might be 100.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will these wetlands be designated by a permanent marker or anything to let people know where the wetlands began?
They've been identified by a wetland specialist, and the Army Corps of Engineers will confirm that those are accurate. Will there be markers in the field? If that's a requirement and that's what you want us to do, then the answer is yes, they will. Normally, though, I don't think that is done in terms of delineating wetlands in the field. There's going to be flags hung. Flags are actually hung. When I say flags, the ribbons, the survey ribbon, is hung to delineate where the wetlands are.
Yeah, how about the silt fence? Where will you replace that as far as...
Oh, yeah. Place? Yeah, as far as the silt fence...
At the wetlands?
Pardon me?
Will they replace that at the wetlands, so the no disturbance?
We don't even want to be anywhere near the wetlands. So wherever wherever we need to stop construction activity, that's where I would propose to put the silt fence. Save as many trees as you possibly can, and don't even get anywhere near the wetlands.
Speaking of trees, How many acres are you proposing to save?
Well, 62% open space is being saved. So 62% times 264 acres, 130 or 40 acres, I guess. What, 162? Something like that.
So the only place you'll be clear-cutting trees is where the homes will be and the roads?
Correct.
Utilities?
Correct.
Everything else will be saved?
Yes.
And you've got a replanting plan?
We're going to have a replanting plan and a landscaping plan as part of the final engineering that would be done. One thing that I didn't mention was that a lot of the trees that, remember I said it was previously timbered and it was replanted with pines, we'd like to save as many of those pines as we can and replant them on the berms so that we can make use of a lot of the pines that are already out there. And if anybody wants pine trees, let me know.
So you're talking about a berm being along the Phillips Hill Road and also the Scotland
Road and then Womack Road, correct.
And it'll be bermed up the whole area with
It'll be bermed, yes, with and then planted. We would take some of the pine trees that are found on site currently, transplant them to the berm, and then supplement that with other vegetation to make it look a little more balanced.
Mr. Robertson, do you know if there's the ag notice and the deed restrictions?
I'm not sure that we have deed restrictions.
Oh, you don't have deed restrictions?
Yeah, because it didn't go through.
I don't think we have one yet.
Yeah. I didn't see any in the notebook. But
We will definitely need the ag notice and the deed restrictions, and also I'd like to see a hunting notice and the deed restrictions.
Okay.
Because I know there's hunting out that way.
Yeah.
No problem with that? You'd have no problem with that?
No problem with that.
There's a statement I read in the executive summary I couldn't quite understand. And it's talking about the police. It says the Laurel Police Department is located at 205 Mechanic Street in Laurel, Delaware, and provides 24-hour service with the police chief, 16 full-time police officers, and the office clerk. The department is responsible for the enforcement of the town ordinances, traffic laws, parking regulations, and state laws. And also the Delaware State Police Troops 4 in Georgetown is available to provide additional assistance if necessary. Now, I've either missed something during the presentation or you didn't.
It's going to be annexed in Laurel.
Is this property going to be annexed in Laurel?
No.
Well, how is the Laurel Police Department going to go 8 miles and provide protection to this area?
Well, I mean, it would be whatever, you know, the police department's service area is, if it overlaps between Georgetown.
Let me ask you a question. If it's the town of Laurel Police Department, what do you think their service area might be? Might be the town limits of Laurel, you know? This is 8 miles outside of the limits. I don't know who put this together, but somebody wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I find that
they're not going to go out there.
No, that section was prepared by the previous engineer, but I take responsibility for it because I didn't change it.
So I read that. I said, "Well, there's no way 8 miles." Because I went out there and measured it in 8 miles, and I guarantee you, Laurel Police Department won't be
right.
Out there.
State the state police.
State police will be out there.
Would be out there. You're right, and it, possibly when the prior engineer put that sentence in there, they were thinking in cases of maybe extreme emergencies, if there's a dire need and you have to have additional respondents, that could be the case. But you're right. They're not going to go out there on regular calls.
Just wanted to make sure I didn't see it here about the annexing.
No.
Actually, Mr. Gordy, this is a subtle play for regional policing.
Yeah.
This is how regional policing is supposed to work.
Okay. Now, you don't have a drawing. Do you have a drawing of a standard subdivision that would look like? Did you, nothing in here about that?
No.
Okay. I didn't know. And another statement I read somewhere about community amenities that you said prior to the 80s building permit at each individual subdivision.
Right.
So explain that to me.
Well, the amenities features, specifically the clubhouse, before the 80th building permit was issued in that section, we would commence construction on the clubhouse.
Do you think that would be the first section that started?
I was thinking about this the other day, and it really depends on market demand. Normally, you know, you would want to get that up and running as soon as possible for sales reasons and to make it a little more attractive. So I would think that maybe this area would be the first one, and then naturally you'd have to build a pond in that area. Once you move back this way and you hit 80 lots, then you'd have to build a clubhouse. So that could be phase one, that could be phase two, phase three, and then phase four, the premium lots back in the back.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask how many lots were. Are you saying 80th permit? I was a little confused by the reference to multiple subdivisions. This is one subdivision. Does it have four phases? Is that what you're telling us?
It could have multiple sales phases.
Okay.
But
it's 80 permits overall. It's not 80 permits in that one section you were
correct.
Talking about.
That's
that
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad you clarified that. That's what I was couldn't understand. So what other amenities are you having in the other sections? I see some open space. But
up in this area, we would propose a gazebo to overlook the pond area, walking trails, seating benches, and then as the trail meanders back through the woods and ties up through this spine and wraps back around, you could have seating benches through here, maybe exercise trail or those exercise stations that you see. And certainly would work with the county, Mr. Lank, to come up with something that's, you know, acceptable to the county and appropriate. But that's what we were thinking about, at least. And then the same thing up here. Seating areas, heavily landscaped, and then the trail that meanders around the seating area, the pavilion, I don't want to call it a pavilion, a gazebo, and additional seating areas. So things that would be, you know, used by seniors. And then, of course, the proposed boardwalk, and then there's walking trails, again, that tie in through the whole subdivision.
Okay. That's all the questions I have right now, Mr. Wheatley.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Gordy, for asking all the questions I had just about. But I do... I have a couple. Is there any type of special permitting that you will have to go through to get permission to put that boardwalk through the wetland area?
No.
No, nothing. You can just, it'd be
as long as you're not filling in the wetlands.
You'd be doing pilings in.
Piles are okay. Filling's not okay without a permit.
Mr. Gordy mentioned about the cemetery. Did I hear you say that there would be some parking provided should some of the descendants of the family there wish to visit those graves?
Right now there is no parking, but certainly parking would be available. There's ample parking in front of the clubhouse, and we could see how this trail kind of meanders back around the pool deck. We could make a connection from that to the cemetery for that reason.
Thank you. Do you have anything to support the statement that I thought I heard you say, that because of the age targeted, that sidewalks would only be necessary on one side of the street? Is there?
There's no statistical data that I have for that. It's merely a request. If the Planning Commission thinks it's more appropriate for sidewalks to be on both sides, we'll do that. The point I was merely trying to make is that we're trying to keep costs down as much as possible and hopefully, you know, convey those costs to the homeowners. That's all.
Have you assembled any type of budget? While I know it would be an estimate, but do you anticipate having a budget to let the potential buyers know what they could expect insofar as dues and fees to the Homeowners Association for stormwater management, maintenance, amenities, the upkeep of the cemetery?
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that. Yes, we did a rough budget for that. And it would be comparable to many of the other projects in the area. Village of Five Points is one, maybe not that expensive, but I would think with the road maintenance, the pond maintenance, the clubhouse maintenance, it could be, you know, $1,000 a year in that magnitude.
It may be $100 a month.
It could.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Excellent. We have...
Mr. Smith, can I say one more thing?
Please.
I mean, I'm not a professional property manager, so that management budget would have to be prepared by the management company.
Very much aware that
until
you got further down the road, if you got approval.
Right.
But We just would like to see that people get noticed and that
right.
It's a part of your planning process. We have, in some cases, asked developers to put those simple carcinite markers to mark the wetlands, something that survives past the flagging.
Okay.
And I guess just one last question and a homage to Mr. Couts, who isn't here. The project falls within an excellent groundwater recharge area. Mm-hmm. Have you any response to that?
Yes, we've looked at that. It's the excellent recharge area you're referring to is right here. It just clips this eastern portion. And in accordance with your code, you can go up to 35% impervious, but you can't go more than that unless you go up, unless you do certain things. And then you can go up to 60% impervious. So what we did is we made sure that we had substantial open space in this area. And remember, I was talking about the larger lots along the outside roads. We specifically put larger lots here to make sure that the impervious coverage was only at 29.5%, well below 35%.
So those are like the 80-foot wide lots?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's all.
All right, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sir, do you have an exhibit in here in this vast booklet that shows what some of the surrounding projects are? I know you referenced a couple names, but I was looking for a specific exhibit that might show the various projects that are within a reasonable distance of your...
Yes, I do. Right, Chickberry Fields, which was before you a month or two ago. Trap Trails, which I think was also before you a while ago. I do have something. What did I do with it? That's the question. Okay. I apologize for the quality of this, but and I only brought one. If it's okay, can I distribute it around?
It's not part of your booklet here.
No, it's not.
Okay, because I didn't see one, and I know you referenced it in your presentation about those.
I can.
So you got Chickberry.
Chickberry, yes, Trussum Pond, Trap Trails, and then Phillips Hill Farm, and they're all. And I apologize, but I'll give it to you guys in a second. But here's Phillips Hill Farm. Here's the regional sewer facility, Trussum Pond. Here's Chickberry, and there's Trap Trails.
So about how many miles would you say you're from the wastewater treatment plant?
It's a couple miles.
A couple is being?
2.5, maybe 3. I mean, I haven't measured it exactly, but it's a good distance.
And that's feasible for that to be put in for this project?
Yes. Yeah, we would have, as part of this project, we actually have a sanitary pump station that's proposed right here. And it's within the subdivision, so the county can gain access to it from subdivision roads. And then those berms that I was telling you about would be on the outside of it so that it would be shielded from the road. Then there would be a high-pressure force main that would come up Phillips Hill Road and ultimately tie into Chickberry Fields pump station, which gives additional pressure to the line and then ultimately to the treatment facility. We've done force main connections that are a lot longer than this one.
Okay. Mr. Abbott, did I hear you say that we do have the plus response to the response to plus?
Yes, we received it April 6th.
Okay. Thank you. And I heard you mention that it's 25 minutes to the beach. Is that by helicopter?
I'm guessing. It depends on who's driving.
The other one.
I can assure you, being a lifelong citizen of Sussex County and as well as my father, we took the journey looking for this site, and I saw parts of Sussex County I never knew existed, but that's okay. But I can assure you it took me more than 25 minutes to get from there to the site I looked at near Long Neck within the same day. But anyhow, maybe I was driving too slow.
It's 25 minutes if the town of Laurel doesn't have radar set up.
I thought it was Gumborough.
Okay. I digress. What type of housing are you proposing? Stick-built, modular?
Yes, stick-built. Probably one-story would be proposed. And depending on where the water table is, it could be slab or basements. Some of that would be driven by what the market wants as well. But, yeah, stick-built, conventional housing.
Okay. And you've and we've addressed the issue that the amenities such as the clubhouse will be put in upon the 80th building permit?
Yes.
Is that okay? 80th building permit?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not by section, but total number of 80. Okay. And I guess, gentlemen, I guess the one comment that I'll have about not just this project but the other ones that you mentioned is that this screams for the need for sub-area planning. You know, as this whole area is being inundated by a number of large residential projects that are of concern to me, that the changing of this the rural area that we do have in this area. And with that, no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Burton.
A lot of mine have been answered, but could you point out the wetlands? There's a large amount of wetlands on this site.
63 acres.
They're basically contained around where Raccoon Branch is. There's a couple of branches of Raccoon Branch. So you would find a meandering in this fashion. Raccoon Branch drains from east to west out towards the Chesapeake Bay. So they're in there, back in here, and back in here.
That's a stream?
The streams, it's a stream. It's an intermittent stream. Sometimes you'll walk out there in portions of it and you won't see any water at all. Other times you will see water flowing in it. But it's not a tidal system. It's a non-tidal system. And like I said, the wetlands basically meander along the back of the property. Wherever those wetlands are, we've added a 50-foot buffer to make sure that we're substantially far away from them.
It looks as if there's almost a connector road to that acreage on the point there that you're putting in a conservation easement.
Here?
Yes. Is there a way to get to that?
Yeah, right here off of Womack. This is a whole, it's high and dry. There's no wetlands back here. This is all land that we could have developed, but because of the cluster subdivision ordinance that we wanted to try to save that, we intentionally kept everything up there, and we wanted to, even though this is developable, our plans were to put it in a conservation easement.
But that road that comes down to it just kind of stops there.
Oh, this one here? No, that's not a road. That is a that's a big, it's a relatively large village green area. It's about 100 feet wide, and what it is there's going to be another overlook point right here that you can overlook the stream valley in here with plantings. And see this right here? This path meanders up parallel to the pond, and DelDOT's going to make us put in what's called a multimodal trail so we can tie that into the trail system and then back down through the project.
And what will that multimodal trail be made of?
Asphalt.
And that would be true all through the whole site?
Yes.
Just in that one area?
No, this would be an asphalt trail. DelDOT likes to have them 10 feet wide. Now, the trail system we're talking about meandering through would only be 5 feet wide, and we could make it whatever you all want it to be. I wouldn't suggest wood chips or something like that because over time that deteriorates, so you want something a little more substantial that's going to be there for a while.
And that would be true for the trail that goes from the one neighborhood to the other neighborhood?
In here?
Yes.
That is the boardwalk.
So that would be all boardwalk across mm-hmm. there. Would that be lighted?
You know, we weren't planning on lighting that. Might not be a bad idea, but lighting that at night, some people might not like that, particularly the people who live back in here. You know, they might not like that lit. So that wasn't something we considered, to be honest with you.
All the rest of my questions have been answered.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions, thanks.
Mr. Gordy, go ahead.
I've got one more, I forgot. DelDOT improvements. What are they proposing as far as improving Phillips Hill Road or?
Yeah.
Bus Lane Road or whatever.
Womack. Normally what they request, and when you read through the plus response, they didn't really come up with any specific requirements, but normally what they like to see is a 10-foot through lane and then a 5-foot shoulder.
So you'll be doing that if they request that?
If they request that, yes. Yes, sir, we will.
That's all. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-26 DM Properties of Bethel Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-26? Yes. Yes, sir. Come on up here, give us your name and address, and you may have the floor.
Steve Hitchens, Walmart Road, 317 Laurel, Delaware.
All right, sir.
This is my property. There are very important stream that runs all the way through here. I just got a letter through the mail from Chesapeake about how important that stream is to the watershed from here all the way, Maryland, all the way to the ocean. Now, if I got a letter and it's that important, it must be important to somebody. It's these houses, this is fine and good, and he's doing this and that. But this water, fertilized lawns, blacktop and all that, where's it going to go? It's going to eventually go here. And that's what's supposed to filtrate our water. That's our biggest drinking water around here. Right now it's full of water. I timber part of my property. I couldn't cut certain trees. I couldn't go on my property because it was going to tear it up. Yet they say they can build on it. This here ties up to me. This is pure wetland. You can go in there now and you got water up to your knees. You got eagles, deer, turkey, wildlife abundance. You got all kinds of species of animals that's living there now. I just think it's a very big project for a country area. I mean, this is country. And he said he's going to build these homes comparable to where I live. Well, I don't want to talk about my neighbors, but I don't want my house to look like some of my neighbors. I got a nice home.
Okay.
I think that's about it. I just want you to know how I feel and what's going to happen to my way of life and living. It's just too big a project for 8 to 10 miles out of town, any town. Whether it's Millsboro, it's 10 miles from my house to Millsboro. It's 12 miles or 11 miles from here to Georgetown, or from Georgetown to my home. And it's 8 or 9 from my house to Laurel. There are no grocery store close by. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, yes, sir. Who'd you get the letter from?
Huh?
You said you got a letter from Chesapeake. Who was that from?
It's called Blue Stream. If you're telling Blue Stream, it's not the company. It's called, if your property, you have certain streams that go through them. This is called a Blue Stream. That's the one that filters the water. You familiar with that?
Right. Go ahead.
That's what he was telling me. My stream, it goes through my property, and through his is Blue Stream. I asked him to be here tonight or send a letter or something. I don't know if they did or not. Yes, sir.
Does that stream, do you recall the name of it? Is it a named stream? The applicant had mentioned Raccoon Branch. And
I had the letter home. I'll send a letter up here to y'all. Excuse me.
Okay.
I'll be glad to show you the letter and send it up at what I got on it.
Thank you.
Okay? Thank you all very much for listening.
All right, sir. Well, thank you for being here.
Gentlemen, just real quick, unless the record's going to be kept up.
I understand.
We can't consider anything.
So I understand. You may. You're next. Got to tell us who you are.
My name is Carolyn Hitchens, and I live on Walmart Road. If this happens, our way of life has changed. My husband and I walk up and down the road 2-3 times a week. We take our dog, and I have a quarter horse that I ride 2-3 times a week. Last night, I rode it all the way around this block, and I just think that if this comes to our area, that everything had just changed. the traffic. There's going to be 390 homes there, double two cars per unit. That's how many cars would be in the area up and down the road. And my husband brought up about the wildlife. There is bald eagles nesting in the area, and there is all kinds of wildlife there, deer. I've even seen otter, fox, rabbits, and where will they go? That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office.